there, you're listening to Switch On, a podcast to shape the principles of modern leadership. I'm Helena Mach, and I'll be discussing real experience with successful leaders. Learn from them, how are they dealing with the challenges of today, and how are they building on their learnings for tomorrow's success. In this series, we will focus on leadership principles, where you can find yourself in a situation when you can bend the world to your will, if you find yourself in a paradox. Welcome to Switch On. Not so long ago, time has stopped for many of us, while on the other hand, the time has accelerated. I know how this sounds. It's like a paradox. Certain aspects of our economy had to respond fast to this unpredicted crisis. It was a ride, but it was not all bad. For me, recent experience has put things in perspective, what we need and what we don't, what matters to us, how flexible we are to embrace change and act on it. Less is more may sound like a cliché. In reality, it helps us to concentrate on what matters most to us and what we need to focus on. So I feel privileged to be able to have this discussion with Irena Turcic, Adriatic, Mediterranean and Black Sea District HR business partner at Bureau Veritas. Welcome, Irena.
Hi.
Irena, you come from an international enterprise environment, having IT services and engineering background. But currently, you're active in a testing inspection certification service segment. Tell us more.
My name is Irena. I'm coming from Bureau Veritas, the company dealing with technical services. Basically, with the technical services, I work for over 25 years now, mostly in general HR role. So my current role is an international one. As you said, I'm HR business partner and I'm responsible for six countries at the moment, like fully in all scopes of HR. And for additional two of them, at the moment I work as an interim because I'm covering the absent colleague for those two countries.
Good to have you with us, Irena. You're very passionate about organizational development through people engagement and the support of progressive and successful leadership. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your ambition and what has brought you to where you are today.
I believe that I can manage my responsibilities quite well because I am very inclusive. So I am respecting lots of different views, opinions. I believe I'm quite fast and supportive to business. And with every proposed action, I'm future oriented. At least what I always try is put things into future perspective, not into present or even past perspective. So an additional thing is that I always try to see people first in each and every action. So my orientation is really people, but over years, I believe I really learned, you know, how to align people and business because this goes hand in hand.
You're so right. Without people, we wouldn't be where we are today. And I have an impression that people are becoming more important nowadays, and companies are realizing what an asset people are. Because the pandemic has disrupted the global economy and has a strong impact on our social connection. It has brought a lot of uncertainty, anxiety, and stress. And with that legacy, we have embarked on 2021 with high expectations for a brighter future, with more optimism and confidence for better days ahead. And having this light at the end of the tunnel really helped. Yet this uncertainty is still here. How do you deal with this? What is helping you to overcome this anxiety when you're facing tough situation and new things? How do you collect the courage and get the resilience to go forward?
Yeah. So people, as I said, people are literally everything that the company has, especially in the service industry. And by people, I mean, this is, you know, just a bundle of personalities about, you know, energy, engagement, and before engagement, most probably attitude, competencies. And all these can, you know, create a success story, or on the other side, maybe even not. So when you speak about, you know, the 2020, actually, where the COVID era started, you know, then it was, at least from the very beginning, that brought lots of uncertainty, lots of anxiety and stress. But I would say that was the mainly present in the wave one of these pandemics, where nobody really had a good idea what happened, where we are, where we go. There were no answers available for basically anything. We just stayed at home in a lockdown. For instance, I remember I literally landed into a lockdown because I just, you know, came back from the last business trip abroad. And I still remember when I was asking, well, I said, well, that's nothing. I mean, that will just, you know, pass very quickly. But then I was noticing people hysterically buying groceries, you know, and storing food, like robbing the supermarkets. And I said, oh my God, maybe I'm really wrong. So it might be there, you know, the end of the world is coming. So the first fear that was noticeable was basically a fear of hunger, which is a really, really very basic one. And then after a while, people realized that the food is still coming into stores, you know, and then things started moving kind of more easily. And then the masks and then the staying at home. And yeah, that was a bit uncertain and stressful. But I believe that this real anxiety came later because we literally expected that won't take that long, that it will, like, you know, stop much earlier. But from that wave one and maybe wave two, I remember, you know, weekly reporting the number of infected people, you know, and here in the company, we were collecting data from different countries and we were monitoring, you know, these reported numbers. At certain moment or in certain period, it seemed that we had fallen in apocalyptic disaster. So luckily, nothing like that actually happened. So when we kind of managed to overcome these really basic fears, then of course the health issues came and became the major concern. People were really scared who will get infected, you know, who will end up at hospital, who will, you know, die or not. And I remember there were really two poles that were kind of established. On one side, there were people who were extremely worried. On the other side, there were people who were kind of, at least they seemed not to be worried at all. They were just, you know, commenting like how everything is, you know, exaggerated. But as a company, what we did, and I think we did that really very good. We applied really all possible measures in all countries to protect people. Because protected people in our business means also protected business. So we put people apart, you know, we kind of, let's say, diluted them. So we kept, you know, in our premises, in our offices, just about 25% of the complete population, wherever, you know, the shifts work was possible. This is like lab work. People started working in shifts. We engaged ourselves, especially the HR people, really by, you know, sending out positive messages. We were constantly available to people who really suffered more. Because there were a couple of them who suffered mentally really very fast, you know, from this group of more feared people, while others, and these luckily was the majority, they managed to handle this situation with much more resilience. Mm-hmm. I also remember that was the time when my company implemented, you know, complete, let's say, number of Microsoft tools. I mean, yeah, tools. Teams was also, you know, among them. Basically, we were extremely lucky because I believe that COVID started in March and March 2020. And I think it was November and December 2019 when actually, you know, we switched to Microsoft platform from Lotus Notes. And I really believe that Teams saved lots of things. We suffered from the beginning. Because, of course, we need to kind of adopt this tool. And some people had more issues with that than the others. But still, you know, we were relatively fast. And yeah, fast, but we managed to continue all operations. Yeah, we got used to it. And now I believe everybody's happy to have that, you know, on their computers. So for us, so far, so good. So the impact on business, of course, was present and was negative. But with the support of all the tools that we had on our computers, we managed to keep the business stable. And now I believe we can relatively easily respond to all the changing measures, no matter how frequently, you know, the governments are changing them. It, for instance, it required a bit of investment. Yeah. So, for instance, we had to replace the last desktop computers with laptops. And then some people needed additional, you know, external monitors, computers being updated and so on. But that was it. So that was, yeah, a bit of this maybe unplanned investment, but it was so worth it. Because today, where we are, I would say that we're fine. Business is running. And also in terms of, you know, this digital literacy, I believe we did quite a step forward.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, it was quite a kick. Maybe we needed a nudge in this direction, but now we actually see what is possible with the support of technology. And mm-hmm. You mentioned resilience, right? We mm-hmm. We didn't have it in focus earlier, but now as we need to continue to be flexible and we have learned how adaptable we actually are, I think it's a good skill bringing it forward. And I can even say that we are more adaptable than we thought we were. And we have demonstrated this, like you are mentioning, by starting to communicate differently, collaborating differently, all with the support of the technology that you're mentioning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you already see any, or what are the biggest changes that you're currently experiencing in your environment in terms of the change that technology brought?
So what I noticed as the biggest change that COVID brought, this is the limited possibilities of socializing. That means with our peers, so within the company and also with the clients. Mm-hmm. The biggest change, yeah, meetings that were done, you know, the old fashioned way, like the usual way, one to one, face to face, had to be replaced by Teams video calls. And it was very interesting to observe, you know, to observe the speed of development of this tool. And the change that I am observing is basically that now we became, how would I say, relaxed. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is we became a bit comfortable, I would say. So sometimes now, even though the, let's say, the meeting, the person-to-person, face-to-face meeting is feasible, people still stay in front of their computers, you know, and they talk Teams.
Wow, an interesting experience. Yeah. I guess working in this international environment in a remote capacity is unique, but it's really not new, right? Like you mentioned, the situation that we faced actually forced us to embrace it, right? There was no other option mm-hmm. how to do it otherwise. But more and more companies are embracing this model, and I think it's here to stay, probably in different forms, right? There will be no two companies who have the exact same model. But in my view, it can't fully replace the impact of our face-to-face interactions. You're also working like this, and I guess it comes down to building trust with your teams, staying present. But sometimes this means also setting the boundaries when it clashes with your private life. Do you have any recommendations for us that work for you so we can really be present when we need to be and to manage the complexity on the other hand?
Yeah, I would say that pandemics convinced also the non-believers in remote work. It saved, or at least it helped saving our business, supported keeping, you know, the teams of people stable, admitting it or not. And people proved that it's not necessary to be in the office every day and still to do, you know, a good job. Personally, I'm a big fan of blended work, and I believe that people need to be, you know, well led and inspired. So what they need to, you know, is to have their roles and responsibility and finally objectives clearly set. They need to have like clear orientation and an idea of how to get there. Bit of motivation and inspiration, if they are addressed with positive communication, you know, and with the paying, so the managers paying attention on the hidden mouses, you know, then I believe it is really not necessary to be sitting in the office and be, you know, monitored by somebody. So, When you have that ready, I just believe that these people need to be empowered mm-hmm. and the management needs to trust them to be able to organize their time and their activities in a way that, you know, supports on-time delivery. But things don't always work well, and sometimes also these people, you know, get into different issues, and that's the moment where the manager or managers need to be there for them. But on the other side, of course, we also have people who need more guidance and maybe even more control, and maybe these people actually need to get a bit or to have a bit less of this so-called independence, and maybe, you know, the managers need to still put a bit an eye on them. But in general, my belief is that the future will require a good judgment about what actions and events actually require on-site presence, so face-to-face office work, and which not. I believe that everything will be about, you know, price and performance, and it's about the purpose. So The main idea is to support people's life-work balance, but on the other side, to also take care that, you know, utilization is also at the level. And here's where we come to trust. Yeah, so it's, I would say, mostly about the performance management, established performance management, and properly, you know, managed on the basis of positive motivation. So finding out what was done well, and then building on that. And when I say that I'm a big fan of, you know, blended work, by blended work, I mean, for instance, I stay at home in the morning. I do like 2-3 calls from home, let's say from 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning until, let's say, perhaps 11. And then I come to the office so that I'm available here for people that need me in the office. And then maybe I go back and then I continue my work in the evening. That for me is blended work. So that I am, that I have the right and the possibility, you know, to blend my working time. Maybe for somebody else that doesn't work like that. So the idea is to, you know, apply good leadership and good management where that's necessary, but, you know, give people maybe a bit more of space that, you know, they were used to have in the past.
Mm-hmm. But at least we are having this conversation. It was like a wake-up call because we needed to rethink what works, what doesn't work, what matters to us, actually.
Exactly.
And then it mm-hmm. highlighted the areas where we have the area for improvement and work on that. And I can say that this continues going forward because in a flood of information and insights, when everything is changing, businesses are really forced to change to be efficient and effective at what they do. And we are asked to do more with less. Resources are more constrained. Suddenly they are cloud-based. Processes are technology-driven. Different mm-hmm. solutions are somehow knitting and stitching together different systems to boost our efficiency. Manual tasks are getting automated and allowing this way employees to focus on customers and strategy. So on one hand, I love the simplicity of the less is more message because it means having the right mindset to be able to deal with all those challenges. But it opens up another topics for discussions as well. It means less stalling, more action, because we are used to talk about many projects, but only few become a reality. Less stagnation, more disruption, because this pandemic has changed these expectations from products and services, and suddenly we needed to deliver all these high quality services and products remotely with no ability to connect, switching fully to digitalized experience and having less reservations and more trust on science and technology. How do you see the shift?
Well, in terms of shift, more on technology, I completely agree. Technology during these pandemics saved, I think, lots of business, and not just, you know, in our company, but in general. So one thing that I believe just expanded really like that was that as an explosion, this was more or less, you know, video calling. So because it was not possible to meet live, you know, then we switched on this video platform. On the other side, for instance, in our company, we started implementing new tools like radically. For finance, for sales, for HR, lots of, you know, new tools. The whole idea behind is really, of course, to improve the quality of data. And now if I focus on my scope, which is HR, you know, we decided during the pandemics that, okay, we'll launch some projects, you know, to go digital. We even called the project through digitalization. So our plan is, you know, to start working really paperless. We are implementing, you know, I'm leading the implementation of HR Shared Service Center covering, you know, the bundle of countries that I was mentioning before. So it is really interesting to observe this evolution. So new tools, new philosophy, you know, adding different features in different tools, all in one, you know, to enabling, you know, people easily get the information, be closer, be faster. So to improve the quality of everything that we, you know, take into our hands. And for me, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, that was hard to imagine. I mean, for me, it was, and for my colleagues in HR function was extremely, extremely, you know, intensive. I would not dare saying stressful. It was intensive because we were actually, you know, all of us really engaged, really, you know, positive about these changes, this improvement, actually, these steps forward that we are currently making. So I see this shift personally as something very, very good. But of course, I'm maybe a bit, you know, infected by IT because I joined this company after, I think, 17 years working in IT industry. So for me, this is like coming home, and I'm, you know, really very cool with that. Perhaps not everybody is, but I really believe that this is the right way.
Yeah. I mean, like you're mentioning, all new coming toward us and all coming at once.
Yeah.
It was quite a big change because we needed to deal with it. But and recently I actually heard somebody talk about what has Corona brought to the world. And this person said she humanized it like nothing before. It was strange for me first to hear that Corona is a female. So this was the first surprise. But the second thing that made me think, yes, suddenly human element was elevated. In fact, we are experiencing less old school management tactics and more people-centric leadership, fewer distractions, but more focus on purpose, despite having this less face-to-face interactions. And I think we are having more proper, more quality-based personal connections, finally. What's your view on that?
Well, in terms of humanizing the world of work, I agree partially, only partially. I mean, the fact is that technology enabled human interactions, like two-dimensional, as I say. So this is sound and picture, mm-hmm. which is incomparable against just the sound only. It can work successfully in many cases, in many ways, with people you know well. For instance, I don't know, webinars, and for relatively predictable situations and people's behaviors. On the other side, for instance, interviewing people for work, so job interviews, and then maybe coachings, where you actually need to be able to observe, you know, the whole person, because you need to notice the body language, you need to notice, you know, really facial expressions and some other expressions really nicely, and energy and emotions and so on. You know, here we still suffer with the technology because, you know, portrait picture helps, but it's not enough. So to be able to feel the person, you simply need to somehow, you know, organize, assure, grant a face-to-face meeting. So this still matters. And about the old school management tactics, I would say they didn't disappear. They didn't disappear. Maybe they, you know, were hided a bit for some time. Maybe they were like blushed a bit, but they didn't disappear. People didn't change. I mean, also managers, these are still the same people. And, you know, just not being able to have people present, I don't believe this really changes the way they were used to manage people. This is still present, and it will most probably come back. On the other side, however, is true that especially, you know, during this most difficult period last year, let's say March, April, May, perhaps, when the situation was really stressful and when, as we said at the beginning, when fear and anxiety was there, I did have an impression that people in general, I don't mean managers by that, I mean like in general, did, you know, care a bit more. They were like genuinely worried about if somebody did not appear, you know, they were checking on people. And I think that they were more patient. They had much more understanding for lots of things. Basically, that was a period when working with people was really, you know, a pleasure. It was it was nicer, more friendly, maybe even a bit slower. People didn't rush that much. People didn't push that much. So it was more human for some time, yes. But for instance, from last fall on, so last, how many months? This is like four, now five, let's say 9-10 months. I would say that we are close to where we used to be in terms of, you know, these managerial practices.
Do you feel that people's first motion will remain a priority? I see, like you are mentioning as well, some companies going back to old habits where increased expectations to deliver more are a guidance, where increasing targets to continue accelerated growth as nothing happened is normal. Based on your broad experience, what can we expect? Are we really going back or are we going forward?
I certainly believe we are not going back. I believe we'll move forward, and we are moving forward. It is just that people are not changing that fast. So changes of approaches of something that is, you know, a part of us that was presenting our comfort zone, if you like, our usual way of operating, that doesn't change so quickly. But finally, some things did change, and there are people, you know, who are not willing to let things go back completely, you know, to how they used to be. So that's why I really believe that we have, or we are getting this, you know, critical point that would just prevent us going really back to where we used to be, but we'll move forward just slowly. Maybe not at the pace I would expect, but I still believe we'll move on. I would even say that most probably some industries, you know, fast moving industries will go faster. Our industry, for instance, is more conservative. And that's why I believe that we will maybe follow slightly, you know, slower, but we'll go also the same direction, because it's impossible, I believe, to completely go back.
Mm-hmm. I think that we tested some new approaches, we tried some new practices, and I think those that really worked, that resonated with people, might stay. Of course, mm-hmm. not all of them, but what makes sense, for sure. But now that people are slowly going back to the offices, I could also say finally, right? Employees' well-being and safety is a very important topic. Do you maybe see any new patterns emerging, or have you noticed any good practices that could actually stay and become new norms?
I would say that work dynamics was adjusted to the situation. For instance, in our company, nobody lost the job. For me, that is, you know, an incredible achievement. So no downsizing happened. And the energy in team was better during pandemics than before. I will not continue, no? I will not go further. It seems, you know, that I was saying before there were some people who were really frightened and stayed at home, and there were people who are, you know, more courage, more brave, and they're coming to the office. And maybe, I don't know, just maybe, you know, this is now we work with, you know, this group of people who is every day here. So I hope you understand what I mean. So these people are in majority, they're more positive. They are still, you know, wanting to push. They still want to achieve. And that's perhaps why, you know, the energy is really at a better level. We are all very constructive, you know, we're trying to think about, you know, new approaches of work, lots of new, even I would say the level of trying to innovate is present and is very here. Before 2 years ago, year and a half ago, you know, it was not exactly like that. Then people in general are more attentive to each other, so they care, they come, they check on the others who are, you know, in the office. So we were you know, observing, we were noticing more happiness with the ones who were coming or who are coming to the office compared to the ones who are absent for quite a long time already. What we also observed, you know, is we let people work as they preferred. So we did that simply to keep the impression that they are safe for whatever option, you know, they decided. And this feeling of safety really positively impacted engagement of people. Besides the more flexible, you know, working day, which on the other side finally was extended due to home work, mm-hmm. to schooling of children, preparing meals, you know, what yeah. was all in this, you know, the whole bag. It was not just work, there were children, there were families, there were lots of things, and lots of family obligations. So I believe that sooner than perhaps expected in this cultural space, we'll go back to pre-pandemic routine. But in terms of results, I think you mentioned that nothing less was expected. The budget remained as it was. For instance, comparison 2020 versus 2021 on the budget level shows growth, both in revenues and profit. So it's just a sign that we need to think very good how to increase sales and revenue on one side, and on the other side, how not to increase the cost. Mm-hmm. So this is where we are putting now our attention. And so currently it seems that there are expectations to bring people back to offices here. I mean, we are still like we were half a year ago. So I said about 25% people present. And some people are quite reluctant to actually come back to the office. So I believe that some good exercise discussions and evaluations will have to be made soon. It's hard to say where we'll go, but I believe it will really never again be exactly as it used to be, despite, you know, what I said, that will slowly come back. And there are some new work patterns that appeared. There are some new behaviors that, you know, evolved and appeared. So this, I believe, will stay. This will stay. It also become, I believe, quite obvious that the management practices will have to change, at least in certain aspects. Also for reasons that are not COVID related, but maybe for other reasons that are present on the market right now, which is the big, big lack of skilled people on the labor market in Slovenia. It's actually hard to explain when in a way everything seems to be the same, but you feel that it is not exactly the same.
No, it's so much different. I think actually a lot has changed, especially our own perspectives. Like you're mentioning, right? On the first glance, matters seem the same, but our attitude, our approach to them has changed significantly. And this has left, I would say, strong impact on both our professional and our personal lives. And I think people are on one hand very happy to embrace this new change going back. On the other hand, they need to find again this work-life balance. And some are already talking about it, considering it a myth. But technology mm-hmm. is also enabling us to be more flexible than ever, really empowering us to own our day as we deem fit and to find the new work-life balance, even though the two are becoming more and more integrated. Do you have any recipe how to get comfortable both with managing the business and life when the two overlap?
Well, I don't have really a recipe, to be honest. What I'm noticing is that basically, I have to deal with two groups of people even there. So there's one group who are really like 8 to 4 or 9 to 5 oriented. So, you know, they want to just, you know, close the office and forget about work until the next day. And then there's another group where people like, for instance, I'm a part of that, you know, but we are the people who are, you know, judged many times, like you don't have any other life, you know, you just work. In fact, it is not. It is what I described before, you know, it is really the way when I literally blend business and private, and I don't suffer that way, you know, it is, I believe namely that this old-fashioned 9 to 5 work will slowly disappear. And I also believe that that will be a direct consequence of applied technology. Why? Because it's available on all devices. It's everywhere. You simply cannot escape. You have it on your laptop. You have it on tablet. You have it on phone. You know, everything is beeping, reminders everywhere. Basically, right. You can't escape. Simply so, and you know, in this being with the technology everywhere, it's you're accessible everywhere, it is available, it is really hardly avoidable, you know, it is just you just need to find yourself in this flood of everything. This is, for me, this is an advantage, you know, but also on the other side, also for me, that's not always an advantage. So I'll explain why. I mean, I really believe that this is where we go. So basically, we'll kind of be at work almost all the time. But I believe that we need to find the way, you know, to relieve people from all that. So from work, from tablets and laptops and so on, at least during their holidays, during their vacations, because I believe that really everybody simply deserves and needs a couple of weeks per year without that. And I believe that when we, you know, go the way where we are, it seems that this is becoming completely impossible. So that for me now is a challenge, that, you know, people can just go to their holidays relaxed, because that's why the holidays are for, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you need to establish also some sense of personal control and boundaries as well.
True.
Otherwise, you cannot fully recharge and fully unplug. But I agree exactly with what you're saying. You need to ensure that you take care of yourself as well, even though it's difficult and tempting to have all these devices around you.
Yeah, personally, I'm working my laptop. I have also the tablet plus 2 phones. Yeah. So sometimes it is a bit too much, I must admit.
Yeah, so true. But we should not underestimate this opportunity to understand what is going on, to reflect mm-hmm. our personal sense of meaning and rethink old practices, to relearn. This uncertainty is probably here to stay. It's just a question of time when the next crisis, whatever it may be, will hit us. So we need to learn to take action, to trust more, to lean in with a purpose, and learn to feel comfortable managing these tensions while focusing more on people and appreciating ourselves more, all at the same time. What True. Would you recommend to flourish and be successful in today's environment? How to remain strong, determined, focused, and where to pay more attention in the future to be successful?
Well, this is really, really a nice a question, you know, it was like a balsam for my heart when you were, you know, naming all this trust and purpose and, you know, how to manage the tensions and so on. But basically, okay, how to kind of flourish, right? I believe that this has lots to do with each and every individual separately. People need to learn how to overcome fear and transform it into bravery. It might sound a bit exaggerated, but this is just, you know, trying to transform what is your stopper into something, what is your motivation, your driver, basically. So it's a shift in attitude, I'd say. But when you shift, when you change the attitude, this changes your vibration, it changes your energy, and then you can move on. So this positive energy rises intrinsic motivation and, you know, helps to form your personal purpose. And then when you know this personal purpose, that defines your direction and your focus. And here comes the topic, in my opinion, where you have to find the alignment with organizational direction, objectives, purpose, values, if you like. So that's why I believe that, you know, the simple usual coming to work will go extinct, will disappear. People will have to love what they do because the pressure won't disappear. And, you know, you can handle, or we can handle it much better. So if we understand where and why this pressure is there, and we can do this if we, you know, if we feel what we do. So in addition, we'll have to be much more open to changes, willing to try something else, something more. Be open to learn new things, be willing to change some perspectives. I would even claim that, you know, we'll literally have to learn to take more responsibility for ourselves, you know, and learn how to build on new competencies, new knowledge, and get new experience in our personal plan B. Namely, if we have an idea of our own plan B that significantly can impact our self-confidence and trust, and then no matter what happens, we'll find the way ahead. So everything starts in us, and each of us is just, you know, a small stone, a small jewel in this bigger picture of an organization. So that's, I believe, how we can flourish, because we can flourish only if we make ourselves flourish, because nobody can do that instead of us.
Wow. What an encouragement. Thank you, Irina, for a kind reminder of keeping Plan B ready. It's an important one. It has been a real and absolute pleasure to have this discussion with you. What a marvelous conclusion. You have given us a lot to consider while moving forward. Thank you so much for the inspiration and for joining us.
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine. Thank you, Helena.
Great to have you with us.
Thank you.
What a motivational conversation. I feel privileged to learn from Irina. She said it beautifully. Looking forward means we need to remain optimistic and ambitious. It also means we need to learn how to transform our fears into bravery to fuel our motivation and embrace the change to help us manage the anxiety and increasing pressure better. The change starts with us, with our readiness to learn and grow. This podcast is brought to you by Drop of Milk, an impact-driven business consultancy and expert on customer-focused digital transformation. You can learn more at dropofmilk.com.